Hey everyone, it's Dave here from Vikings First and Skull, and I'm half the part of two old bloggers. You have me, and right over there on the viewer's left, you have Darren Campbell. We've been doing this for over two decades apiece, commenting publicly on your Minnesota Vikings. Started out in written form, and over the last few years, we've been doing it visually. I don't know which is best for you, but we have a blast doing it. And then today, we've got a show lined up for you. One that will focus on our normal three themes. First theme is draft prep starting this week. This is the week that you, the viewer, can watch players and start to evaluate them how you see them. Why? Because we have the Shrine Bowl on Thursday and the Senior Bowl next Saturday. And in both those cases, you have scouts from the teams evaluating players. And you could be that scout too. All you got to do is watch. Second theme of the day will be some quick hitters. We're going to talk about Joe Barry being fired up in Green Bay and what that might mean for your Minnesota Vikings. Also, there was the remarks this last week that stirred the pot. Kirk Cousins got interviewed and said some nice things about Bill Belichick. Then, finally, we're going to wrap the show up with a deep dive into the tight ends. Are the Vikings good on tight end? Will TJ Hawkinson's injury be healed in time? Well, stand by and we'll find out next on Two Old Bloggers. Vikings First and Skull presents This Week in Vikings Land with Darren and Dave, your two old bloggers. Hey, everybody. I want to welcome everybody from the chat. I see Dave, Dan, Anthony. My worthless opinion, good to see you, my friend. Raymond is here. The wonderful and beautiful Miss Mary is also. You are all welcome. The good doctor's in the house as well. And Jonathan, welcome, welcome, welcome. And I see Norsefius too. Is it beer 30 yet, Norsefius? It is for me. It's the weekend. So, Dr. Proto's got the smoker working. Sounds Ooh. Good there, brother. We'll be over shortly. And welcoming Robert to the show. You think they're going to take Brian Murphy the second with their first pick? Interesting choice. We'll get into some more of that as we get closer and closer. We'll have to find out. And Anthony, there are two games. The Shriners Bowl or Shrine Bowl, East and West, and then you have the Senior Bowl, which is the National and American. So, but we'll get into that right now. But first, Darren, how are things up in the Arctic Circle?
Couldn't be better, Dave. No football to watch today, so just saving it all for tomorrow. It feels weird, but it's the we're getting by.
Saturday without football since like August. So,
yeah. Well, we better get used to it because in 3 weeks' time, that'll be our life 7 days a week, unless you want to watch the UFL or XFL or whatever it's called these days.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. All right. Well, let's get this theme rolling. Theme one. Let the Vikings draft prep begin.
Indeed, Dave. We are at the time of the season, the NFL season, where you've got four teams who are still focused on 2020 on this season and winning the Lombardi Trophy this year. And then the other 28 teams are already moved on to next season and, you know, the future next season and winning a Lombardi next season and maybe and hopefully many times in future seasons. The Vikings, unfortunately, happen to be one of those teams around this time. I feel like that, you know, the draft prep the whole draft brouhaha frenzy really starts this coming week when you get the East-West Shrine Bowl and the Reese's Senior Bowl take place. And the East-West Shrine Bowl, you already mentioned it, that happens on Thursday in Houston, I believe. And then next Saturday, Dallas. Dallas?
The game may be in Houston. The practice is in Dallas.
Okay. I think I was mistaking things because they did play at Allegiant Stadium last year, but maybe they're not playing.
They may be again, but the practice is going on at Ford Center, the training facility for Dallas.
Well, they can't be playing in Houston then. That'd be like too long of a trip. Like, why would you practice in Dallas. And play in Houston? And then in Alabama, the Senior Bowl happens on Saturday. We talked about how Kwesi Dofemensa last week has to really nail this draft. So, this is really where things really get prepped up, where they get ramped up. And fortunately, our own Tyler Fornes, Dave, if you haven't heard already, our own Tyler Fornes is going to be at the Reese's Senior Bowl. And that's great for Tyler. It's great for our loyal viewers and loyal followers and subscribers on Skol, on First and Skol, because Tyler's going to be bringing you, he's going to be there on the ground the whole week.
Year in a row.
Yeah. And he is going to be giving you a wealth of information, takes, intel from the Senior Bowl about a whole bunch of players that we really should be paying attention to. And we'll get into that a little bit later, but, you're going to hear it on the Real Forno show. He's also got Vikings Wire that he'd be reporting for as well. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Right. Get locked on First and Skol.
This is where you have to like, subscribe, ring the bell, set it to all notifications, because he'll be going on next week with Shorts, where he's holding up his phone and he's going to comment on player A just did this. Yeah. It looks fantastic, right? And so if you want to see it when it first hits, have those notifications on and they'll come up. And they're going to be Shorts, 60 seconds or less. He's going to talk about quick this and quick that. And we'll assemble full shows after that. But if you want the latest up-to-date stuff, make sure you have your notifications turned on and all notifications selected, not just, whenever YouTube feels like notifying you type thing.
There was a question down there, Dave, about is the Senior Bowl open to, I think, either all seniors who are eligible for the draft? Not to all players.
There's an interesting change to the Senior Bowl this year and how they do business. I'll tell you how they do business. It used to be nothing but seniors. This year, they've opened it up to underclassmen, i.e. juniors. And I listened to a podcast this week where they were talking about how they go about selecting people that fall in the range that are eligible to be there. And it is very much the president and the general manager or whatever that runs the Senior Bowl. They take this process very, very seriously. They look and they try to see who is eligible, and to figure out who's eligible, believe it or not, they use PFF, the college products of PFF, and they start racking and stacking players. All right, they're going to take the best quarterbacks, running backs, linebackers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, they know if that player is a top five player, they're not coming, because the top five players aren't generally going to waste their time and possibly hurt their status in the draft, so they're not coming. Now, they may extend, hey, would you like to an informal invite, but they're going to put formal invites to everybody else that falls under that and to see if they come. Well, this year, that's always been the case for seniors. This year, they allotted so many slots for juniors because they've recognized that finally this isn't just a seniors-only sport. There's juniors that come out, and they need to be evaluated too as well. And so, like I said, with their processes, which includes PFF's college side, they select those people. They send out invitations. Invitations are accepted or not. If somebody's higher than that, range that they go for and they want to come there, they're allowed to come there. And that's how they set up for the Senior Bowl. The Shrine Bowl, which is also sponsored, and the NFL sponsors the Senior Bowl, and I do believe they do with the Shrine Bowl too, is a mixture of some of those players and a little bit lower in those pools that might not get the Senior Bowl invite, or the Senior Bowl's full. They go generally to the Shrine Bowl or get invitations there. And that's where you get the biggest pool of these guys are draft eligible. They are committing to the draft, obviously. They've got to do that already. And we believe they could become NFL players. So here, teams, you want to get your scouts down there and start looking at them close up. That's how that works.
Thanks, Dave, for all that information. You're talking about these two games. If you've looked at, and we talked last week about when we were assessing Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, how's he done as his job, and that 2024 is like a crucial, crucial offseason for him, for the Vikings, because his first draft was a bust so far. The second one's looking better, but he didn't have a whole lot of, it was a small class, and he's really got to nail this draft. But if you look at, I didn't used to pay a lot of attention to the Senior Bowl or the East-West Shrine Bowl game, but with this administration, with Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, based on his two drafts, the previous drafts, Dave, he's had a great proportion of those have been, of the 16 players he's drafted, a lot of them have been seniors, and 9 of the 16 draft picks have either played in the East-West Shrine Bowl game or the Reese's Senior Bowl game. So you, as a Vikings fan, if you love the draft, and we all do, you should be paying attention to these two games, because there's a good chance that a lot of these guys that they're playing are going to be Vikings. Some of them are going to be Vikings in 2024.
Last year's game,
we had Jay Ward, Jaren Hall, and Mekhi Blackmon all played at the Senior Bowl. And also, Ivan Pace Jr. and Andre Carter, who weren't drafted at all, were also at the Senior Bowl. And even Jalen Williams, who was on our practice squad, he was at the Senior Bowl, the cornerback. He got to play a little bit at the end of the year. So that's 3 draft picks and 2 undrafted rookie free agents that made the team, 5. In 2022, we had 6 guys that were out of our 10 draftees who had played at either of those games. And so Ed Ingram and guys like that, Booth and Seen didn't play at him, but a lot of the other, the back half did. And so this has got to be 2 games that you really should be paying attention to. Another thing I think is important is that everybody's going to have scouts at these games, like you said, eyeballing the players. They'll be there the whole time. But the Vikings actually have 2 of their own players, coaches from their defensive staff, who are coaching the national team at the Reese's Senior Bowl. They include the guy you got pictured here, Durante Jones, who is our pass game coordinator and defensive backs coach. He is going to be the defensive coordinator for the national team. And then Emerge Alberry, who's a defensive assistant with the Vikings, he is going to be the coaching the linebackers and the edge rushers for the national team on Durante Jones' staff. I think that's not a small thing here, Dave. I think that this could be, if Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and his front office and his scouts have got to nail this draft, I think this could be a way to help him, an advantage, and help him to achieve that in 2024. Because, and the reason I think that is that, look, if you go to, this isn't the Senior Bowl, isn't just a carefully constructed pro day by these players at their school. It isn't the combine where you're watching them in running in shorts and doing various drills, non-contact drills, and you only get to, and then you have the speed dating, as it is, the 15-minute interviews max that you get with the guys.
Right? Here's the rose for you. I like you.
That's right. Yeah. So we got Durante Jones and Alberry are going to be coaching a lot of these kids. They're going to be seeing them every day. They're going to be working with them. They're going to be coaching them up. So they're going to now anybody, I'm sure, looking at them firsthand at the field in the game, they've probably seen a ton of tape on a lot of these kids. So I'm not saying it doesn't help to see them, you know, show their wares at a game like this, but that's certainly helpful. But that's probably not the biggest aspect of it. But it is a game where there's going to be hitting. That you got everybody is trying to make a mark. So it is a real football game that these kids are going to play, and they will get to see how they react and how they stack up against some of the best of the best. But I think the kind of the off the field kind of stuff is going to be just as important, because the Vikings have a culture here. There are certain players, I'm sure, that Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah consider Vikings material. And so Darante Jones and Al Berry are going to get great intel on, like, how do these kids take to coaching? Do they transfer what I tell them on the field and correct their mistakes and get better? How do they interact with their teammates? Do they do the extra work after practices, the grunt work, the extra reps, the jugs machine stuff, the things that you need, players need to be great, to get better than they already are? Again, how do they handle themselves when they face adversity after a couple of plays or after a coach tells them something that maybe wasn't very positive? All of those things are going to be great intel that Darante Jones and Al Berry are going to bring back to Egan after this game is over, that the Vikings and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah are going to be put into the input, the data machine, and help them to determine is X player a guy we want to draft if he's available at this certain time. So I think it is not a small advantage, and it's good that we've got two coaches, because the other team that finished just below us in the NFC North, the Chicago Bears, actually have three players from their coaching staff who are going to be on the East-West Shrine Bowl games staff. I forget if they're on the East or the West team, but they've got three of their staff there. So they're going to be getting the same kind of intel information on some of those players that Jones and Albury are going to get at the Reese's Senior Bowl game. And typically, Dave, one last thing here is that since I've been paying attention to these Senior Bowls, like a lot of these players are not day one picks. Mm-hmm. They're day two and day three picks. The Vikings have a ton out of the nine picks right now, and we don't know trading up, trading down, how many we're going to ultimately end up with when the draft happens. But we have nine picks right now. Seven of those nine are on day three. And so that's where a lot of these guys at the Senior Bowl and the East-West Shrine Bowl, that's where they're going to get drafted at. So really, really crucial when we've got a lot of picks there that we've got this extra defensive staff to gather more intelligence and more thoughts and get more data on these players, which hopefully will help Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and his staff make better decisions in April 24 and have a better draft. So I think it's very important that we've got defensive staff at the Senior Bowl working with these kids. And these are two very important games to scout and assess players.
I agree 100%. And it's interesting that, one, it's our defensive side that went down there, obviously, because we've got a bunch of holes on the defense. But it is also for the two coaches, Jones and Al Berry, it's a chance they're groomed to move up and practice their craft at a higher level, right? Jones will be the DC, and Al Berry's going to be higher up in the defensive ladder than he is just a defensive assistant, which he is from Minnesota. It's a very, very good deal. And they're going to be able to talk to these kids, see how they interact with each other, see how they interact with the coaches, see how they interact when they get coaching. They get to see, as Dalton said, an inside track on somebody who may have a higher ceiling than what they showed in college. Because these kids could have been good in college. Obviously, they were good in college, so they wouldn't be here. But they could have been in college and just trained wrong or not trained in certain things. And suddenly, you know, the pro level coaches go, wait a minute, I know how to use this guy. I can teach him this and this. And suddenly he's a super stud. And, you know, just think of through the Vikings past, you know, we had Diggsy was a fifth rounder. There's so many people that came in the later rounds that actually turned out. And if you've got an advantage of seeing these young men first, that helps, and it'll help solidify Kwesi's board as we get closer to the draft. Yes, when we get to the combine, then it's the shorts and the t-shirts and all the pretty stuff and the speed dating, as you said. I think that is absolutely a wonderful term. And running between cones. This isn't that. This is one-on-one blocking drills. This is pass rushing drills. This is, you know, route running stuff. It is, and it culminates in a full-blown football game where they're hitting each other. They're not playing complicated offenses or defenses, but they are demonstrating, can they do what they've been taught? Can they play? Do they have good tackling technique? All that sort of stuff all comes into play when you're down there for these all-star games. And that's why they are important. And like I said, we can watch it. Now, you may need a subscription to NFL Plus or NFL Network, ESPN
20.
And ESPN 2 are going to have them on as well. I don't know what the Shrine Bowl's on. It's going to be on one of those, you know, obscure networks, I'm sure, too, as well. But you can get that, and you can watch and follow yourselves. And that's what I plan on doing all week, is having it up on my computer and watching drills as we go through all of this. And it's going to be fun, because I'm going to be looking at the round bellies. You know.
Yeah, we would.
Yeah. And I'm going to be looking at technique, you know. Does this guy play with technique? Does he have power? Does he keep his ass low? Does he, you know, all the different things I'm looking for. How's his hand play? Different things like that. Other people may be looking at wide receivers. Can he run a route? Can he catch? Does he have soft hands? Is he catching with his fingertips? Is he catching out from his body, or is he letting it hit his chest? Right? Different things happen during this that we now have a chance to see compared to all their contemporaries. Right? Because if you have Ohio State playing St. Mary's School of the Blind, it's not much of a competition. This is leveling the playing field, and it's going to be easier to spot, hey, this young man's good. Put him on our radar. All right? You know, this kid got a lot of hype. Nah, not worth it.
Yeah.
And so that's what's so fun about these all-star games. And I agree with you. Vikings pay a lot of attention, and we draw from this pool of players. So,
and if you like, interesting that Alberry and again Dorante Jones are on the defensive side, and Alberry in particular, he's got edge linebacker. Well, what look at the state of the Vikings edge rushers right now. Danielle Hunter, don't know if he's coming back. DJ Wanham, free agent, coming off a quad injury, don't know if he's coming back. Marcus Davenport, definitely not coming back. So the guys at Alberry are the guys at Alberry is coaching on the national team. Keep pay attention to them. And one of the guys he's got, an edge rusher, is Latu from UCLA. I don't think that he has been mocked to us in different mocks, but I don't think that we're going to be getting him. But Alberry will be coaching him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's considered a first rounder. There's a couple first round edge rushers that are there, and whether we get him or not, it's a different story. If they fall in the second round, maybe, and whether we get him in the first round, that all depends on how the quarterbacks go off the board. Right. Yes. If the top four quarterbacks are gone and we have not traded up, then we very well may go some sort of defensive pass rusher. Most likely that's edge, but it could be a defensive tackle as well. But we'll find out. That's why watching this is so important, or so it gives you an advantage as a fan. So that's why I encourage it. Now on to theme two. Quick hitters.
Couple of quick ones, Dave. wanted to just talk a bit about the unfortunate passing of Joe Barry as that team from Wisconsin's defensive coordinator. Matt LaFleur laid down the hammer this week and fired Barry, who had been the defensive coordinator for that team from Wisconsin for the past 3 years. For a Viking fan like me, that was a disappointing move by Green Bay. I'll explain why. It's because I felt for the past few years, the Green Bay has invested heavily. I think with Gutkus, 8 of his drafts, he's picked a defensive player in the first round, he's picked a defensive player 7 out of the 8 years. They've invested quite heavily on the defensive end of things, defensive side of things. I think they have some pretty good talent on the defensive side of things. But for whatever reason, Barry, in the 3 years that he was there, was not able really to bring out the best out of Green Bay. They were 17th in points given up in his first year, his second year. This year, they got up to 10, surprisingly. So they were good as far as points given up. They gave up the 10th least per game. But they were really bad stopping the run the past 2 years as well. He just wasn't able to bring out the best in the defensive talent that they had, which was very good for Green Bay opponents, especially this year, because with the way Jordan Love blossomed at the end of the year, hopefully that was a mirage and it was a short-term heater by him and not something that he's going to be doing in the future. But with the offense, the way the Green Bay offense looked, how they progressed, how they looked very dangerous, how they're young right now, if they got a defense that was like better than mediocre that they have been under Barry, you better watch out, NFL. And
let's hope they don't.
Well, that's just it. So I was hoping Barry would get another year, another kick at the can at Green Bay as a defense coordinator. That it did not happen. And so now they are picking a new guy. We've heard that Brandon Staley, the ex-Rams head coach and former defensive coordinator with the Super Bowl winning Los Angeles Rams, that he was there Friday talking about the job. Kind of makes sense. He and LaFleur have worked together in the past on teams. Staley he was coaching a 3-4 in LA before he got before he took the job with the LA Chargers. But we don't know if so far he hasn't taken the job. The interesting thing is that there was some rumors, some things out on the World Wide Web that Mike Zimmer might be a potential candidate. Our old buddy Mike Zimmer might be a potential candidate for that team from Wisconsin's defensive coordinator job. A month ago, he was talking to Tom Pelissero with the NFL Network, and he said, "I want to get back into the NFL and coach, and I'm ready. I've been watching tape. I've been checking analytics." I kind of chuckled at that one.
He built a whole room, supposedly, at his ranch for doing nothing but watching tape.
He wants to get back in. We haven't heard any indications that the Green Bay is even considering him for the job. But if he was considered, Dave, and if he did get the job, again, I would be disappointed by that because, A, you know he's going to want to stick it to the Vikings when we play him. And, B, we know Mike's last 2 years with the Vikings was painful for us to watch and painful for him. The team didn't look like it was having fun. He didn't look like he was having fun. He looked miserable all the time. He was fighting with Rick Spielman, all that stuff. But despite all of that, the
family disasters and yes, it was that.
That's right. Yeah, there's that too. But despite all of that, if you look at the total of his time in the Vikings, he was a good head coach for us. And he's a very good coach overall, especially defensive mind. And I think that if he was to be named defensive coordinator of Green Bay, even at 68 years old, I'm pretty confident he would turn them around and turn them into a very dangerous defensive unit. And that is something I do not want to see as a Vikings fan. So very interested to see who becomes defensive coordinator with that team from Wisconsin. And I'm looking forward to that person, whoever Matt LaFleur hires, to be worse than Joe Barry was.
Yes, let us hope it is. Now, just to let you know, the searching the World Wide Web, the legitimate who is being talked about, who's being mentioned with the Packers, is Bobby Babich, the Bills linebacker coach, Cowboys defensive line coach, Aiden Durd, and Broncos defensive backs coach Christian Parker have all been linked to possible Packers defensive coordinator position interest. Whether they turn out to be that, I have no idea.
Good sleuthing, Dave. I have not heard of any of those names.
And they can Aaron, they can hire Donashell. I wouldn't be upset.
He reunion for dead to go back to Green Bay where he had coached before.
Yep. But that's the situation from that dreaded team from Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Now on to the second quick hitter. Kirk Cousins is making the rounds.
He is, Dave. He is not hiding as he gets to hit free agency.
No, I mean, he's not. His public affairs game has increased.
And did you see the thing about him visiting the Hope campus in Michigan, where he's the place where he's from? Some students spotted him. Like, he looked like, apparently he was rehabbing his Achilles injuries, and a couple of students spotted him and they told their professor, and the professor said, bring Kirk in and I'll give you an extra credit. And so, of course, Kirk being Kirk, he played along with it and went in. Once again, more positive press for Kirk Cousins. He's loving it. Yeah, he is. You referenced it at the beginning of the show. Last week, caused a bit of a stir when he had some nice things to say about Bill Belichick in an interview, and saying that, hey, if they asked him, would you want to play for Bill Belichick if the opportunity arises? And there you got it. You got the quote up there. And he said,
just one of many quotes. I think the biggest one people are all up in arms with is this one.
And now, so that made caused quite a bit of a stir. Then you've got Davante Adams of the Las Vegas Raiders on a podcast. He is asked, what quarterbacks would you want to play with? And he said, mentioned Kirk Cousins specifically as a guy, one of two that he'd love to have thrown him the ball.
I bet he would.
Well, yes. Yeah. Because when you look at who has been throwing him the ball the past couple of years in Las Vegas, it hasn't been Aaron Rodgers. But a couple of interesting developments there, Dave, because with the Belichick thing, Kirk knows that anything he says right now is going to get like blasted on the internet with him hitting free agency, and with the Vikings wondering what they're going to do with Kirk, and Kirk wondering what Kirk's going to do. And then you've got a prominent player, NFL player for a team that needs a good quarterback saying, I want Kirk Cousins. I'd love to play with Kirk Cousins. Well, Kirk Cousins is loving that. The Belichick comments, I think, were interesting because, again, Kirk could have easily, you know, if he's trying to work on a deal with the Vikings to come back here, he could just say, I think Bill Belichick is a fantastic coach. He's done a lot of great things in the NFL. He's a future Hall of Famer, and danced around the thing about playing with him. But he didn't do that.
And everybody was thinking Belichick was going to Atlanta, and Atlanta is where, you know, his wife grew up, et cetera, et cetera. It was the perfect fit. And Anthony, I agree with you. I even got an email on it. The Vegas has come out with odds as to where he's going. And the number one team where he's going, the shortest odds, is with the Raiders.
Yeah,
that's just the bettors. You know, what do they know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But these are all just words, of course, words that Kirk said. Words that Davante Adams said. Maybe it doesn't mean anything, but the Belichick stuff in particular, I think I feel it's a subtle way, and this is nothing against Kirk. He's going into free agency. He's got to do what's best for him and however he wants to play that game. But it's kind of a nice subtle way to say to Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, hey, I like it in Minnesota. My family likes it in Minnesota. I like Kevin O'Connell. I like my teammates, but that doesn't mean I'm going to sign a contract that isn't on my terms. It's a way of saying that I'll play for anybody, and I got players in the NFL that want to play for me and want me on their team besides Minnesota. So, hey boys, if you want me back in Minnesota, how about you know, how about sweetening that offer you apparently have on the table for me that is only 1 year guaranteed when I want at least three, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think an interesting way that Kirk Cousins is playing the game here right now as he heads into free agency, and more evidence that if you're a Vikings fan and you were thinking Kirk loves it in Minnesota, he's going to take it a hometown discount. Well, that ain't never happening. And I just used a double negative there. So bad grammar.
This week, some experts think he's going to get 45 mil, up to 45 mil a year. No.
I think he will get it, but he's not going to get it with the Vikings.
Mm-hmm. Well, that brings us the end of theme two, which means theme three is next. Every woman's favorite position, tight ends.
We're on to the, I use this as a preamble every time, but we do, when the Viking season ends, we do a rundown of each Vikings positional unit and look at what they got, who might be leaving, what we'd like to see them do, what we think they'll do. And we did quarterbacks and running backs. Now we're into tight ends. Dave, a month ago, this would have been a pretty easy one for us to run down. TJ Hawkinson is awesome, and he's under contract for a long time, and he was just coming off the best season that a Vikings could have been coming off the best receiving season a Vikings tight end has ever had. And we had Josh Oliver, free agent acquisition in 2023, who just set, who was blocking like a motherfucker all season and also set career highs in catches and yardage. And then we had Johnny Munt and Nick Muse, who are set to be free agents at different ends levels of the free agency. Yeah, different levels, who might be coming back or might not. Brock Bowers? I don't think so. but anyway, I'd like to have him. But their roles with the Vikings in 2023 were either minimal in Johnny Munt's case or non-existent in Nick Muse's case. But, you know, with Hawkinson coming back,
played a couple of snaps.
That's right. And he had a nice 20-yard catch in the last game too, but I wish I could have seen more from him actually. Anyway, but really, you know, the Vikings, you got Hawkinson and you got Oliver doing what he's doing. Yeah, we'd be a little thin on the depth side of things, but I wouldn't have expected a whole lot of changes to the Vikings tight end positional unit going into 2024. But then on December 24th, Kirby Joseph went low, hit Hawkinson in the knee, and we all know what happened then. Torn MCL, torn ACL, done for a large stretch of the time. Because you got the graphics up there, but you sent a little note to me the day after, I think, that it got announced that TJ had the torn ACL and the torn MCL. A note from the Mayo Clinic saying that a pro athlete's recovery from an ACL was 9 to 12 months. So yeah, best case,
that's a professional football player.
Yeah.
For those that are curious, a professional football player in particular, because they measure these things. If it's you or I that do this, 12 months minimum, baby.
Yeah. And so the best case scenario with this is that Hawkinson would make it back probably maybe week two or week three of the 2024 season. Worst case scenario, he's not back until like the last game, maybe late in December. You've only got two or three games left in the season, and depending on where the Vikings are, maybe they wouldn't even want to play him then if you're way out of contention. So the Vikings can probably get by with not making huge upgrades at tight end if Hawkinson is only out a couple of games, and they will know his medicals, right? Because they'll be tracking him and working with him all the way through the recovery process. But hey, if he's
TCO is an orthopedic surgeon's outfit, they may be doing the work.
Yeah. That's true. But if he's out longer than that, you know, missing the majority of the 2024 season, then the Vikings have a problem. And that could really, I think, alter the way Kwesi Adofo-Mensah works on the tight end unit, and particularly in the draft. And this week, actually, Dave, yeah, you've got it up there. Doogie Scoops Wolfson was on Score North, and he talked about Hockenson hasn't even had his surgery yet. Now, I don't know if that's the norm.
He doesn't know about this week, but as of last week, he hadn't had his surgery.
And we don't know. And he's got he's a month coming off the injury. We don't know if that's normal or if it's a little bit behind schedule.
I would think it's behind. Supposedly the reason is because it's still swollen. Mm-hmm. Swelling usually goes down in under a month.
You would think.
Which makes you wonder, is there more damage in there? Mm-hmm. But I would have figured they would have done an MRI or something to get a better look at it by now, at least.
Andrew, Hawk is under contract. He has a void year in 2028. So that would be when he would be eligible for free agency, based on whatever the cap has on there. But so Hockenson, a little bit uncertain. And when he gets back, will he be the TJ Hockenson he was prior injury? How long is it going to take him to become the player he was? We don't know. But that is an issue because there's nobody other than Hockenson that the Vikings had on the team last year playing regularly who could be even a 50 or 60 catch guy that you need if he's going to be out. Like Josh Oliver talked about his career high in catches and receiving yardage. Well, the career high in catches was 22 catches for 213 yards. Not, you know, robust production. Now,
whereas TJ would have easily hit 1,000 yards and was the second leading receiver on the team or first leading receiver when he went out. That's just, TJ is that good. He's top probably three tight end in the league.
Yeah, he had 95 catches and 960 yards when he got injured. So he was guaranteed, I think. He had two games left. With the way his usage, he would have been guaranteed to go over 100 catches and guaranteed that he would have beat Joe Sensor's record of 1,004 receiving yards for a tight end in one season, as the most that a tight end has ever had in a single season. But Oliver, like, does he have the ability to, like, up his receiving ability where he could be a 50, 60 catch guy like Tyler Conklin was back in 2021, I think it was. I'm not really sure, like, because I didn't see the Vikings use Oliver on the kind of routes down the field that TJ Hockenson runs.
Well, first off, and we'll get into Oliver's, was brought in for his pass blocking primarily.
That's right.
Look at those guns. The dude is built like more like Jimmy Kleinsaucer was than, we'll get to later, Nick Muse or somebody. Can he step up and make that sort of difference that you're asking? That can he replace TJ Hockenson in that sort of production?
No. Not, he has not shown that in his 4 years in the league. But blocking-wise, hey, like, he's highly ranked by PFF. The Vikings often had him one-on-one with big edge rushers, and Oliver often won those battles. So you know that he can block, but, and Hockenson blocks too, not like that, but you know, the Vikings offense needs a TJ Hockenson to operate at the level that they want it to operate at. And Josh Oliver is not it. And neither is Johnny Munt. And Munt actually was put in the pass receiving role when Hockenson went out, as opposed, Oliver still stayed as the blocker, didn't play as many snaps. Munt was the guy who became the pass catching tight end, and he did okay. But again, he's a guy, he's never had like even 20 catches in a season, and he's been in the league a long time. For me, he's an unrestricted free agent this year. I don't even know if he'll be back with the Vikings, but Kevin O'Connell seems to love him. So I do expect that he will get signed, re-signed, and it would be for dirt cheap. But
I think it's again, called a man crush.
Well, yeah. True. The best third tight end in the NFL. Okay. Whatever that means. But I think Munt will be back because O'Connell likes him, and also Munt is, I think, is he's willing to accept a role as a third tight end and not playing very much, and he comes dirt cheap. Now Nick Muse is kind of on the same end. He's an exclusive rights free agent, so basically that means that. Explain what that is. Yeah. Did you doctor that?
No, it happens to be a camera angle thing, but you can tell there's a huge difference between that and that.
Yes. But Nick Muse is a guy who he's exclusive rights free agent. So I believe that if the Vikings tender him, like that's basically it. Like he wouldn't be able to hit the market. And I don't think nobody's going to offer.
No. Yeah. You know, if they tender him for a second rounder, nobody's going to touch it.
No. But he's a guy that I thought really, you saw it in preseason, I thought he really improved from his rookie year where he didn't even make the team and was on the practice squad to where he actually made the team in his second year. And when he finally got in the game, again, he had a nice catch. It was only one catch against Detroit. But to me, I'd prefer if the Vikings got rid of Munt and kept Muse, because I think he has more upside, more potential to be something more than a number three tight end. But I don't think that the Vikings feel that way. I feel that the Vikings will bring back both. They'll certainly have room on the roster to bring them back both.
And they'll both be inexpensive.
And they'll both be inexpensive. But you can't roll into 2024 with Hawkinson on the shelf, likely potentially for a long time, and then Oliver, Muse, and Munt as your top three. The problem is, I think free agent-wise, if you look at the tight ends free agency, not very impressive. Dalton Schultz might be the most guy that it would be impressive. But a lot of them, the tight ends that are set to hit the free agency market are all, and some of them won't even hit the market, but a lot of them are 30 years old or older. There's no upside. And what guy, half decent tight end, especially a pass catcher, is going to want to sign with the Vikings even for a year if he knows he's going to sit behind T.J. Hawkinson if Hawkinson is healthy? Yeah. I don't think that they'd be able to get anybody that would be a replacement to Hawkinson receiving-wise who would actually be willing to sign here because he knows he's not going to have much of a role. So really, but we do need to add somebody else to the room, and I think that's where Kwesi Dofamensah, again, they're going to really have to hone in on day three prospects in this draft, because I don't think we're going tight end in round one, even if we, and certainly, yes, Mullins is still under contract for one more year, but no guaranteed money in that one year, I believe. And we don't have a third round pick currently, but I think like day three, the fourth, fifth, sixth round, where we have 2 4th rounders, 2 5th rounders, and 2 6th rounders right now, I think that's where Kwesi Dofamensah, considering the uncertainty with T.J. Hawkinson's health, that's where they've got to target a tight end with pass catching upside and a few guys that I think could be looked at. And we don't know who the Vikings like, but three guys who are at the Senior Bowl this week, Dave, there's
a reason to watch it.
Yeah, there's Brevin Spanford, a Golden Gopher. I'm not picking him. I'm not pointing him out because he's a Golden Gopher and a hometown boy. I'm pointing him out because this guy is huge, 6'7", 270 pounds.
That's a tackle size.
Yeah, and he didn't have like really huge impressive statistics this year. I think like 20-some catches for 200-some yards. But the Gophers quarterback situation was not very good. So he got hampered there. The previous year when he had Tanner Morgan as his quarterback, he had over 40 catches and almost 500 yards receiving. So he can catch the ball, and he's huge. Another guy that would be worth looking at who is Jared Wiley from TCU. Now, another huge guy listed 6'7", 260 pounds, but he's actually even though he's got that big size, he's considered more of a pass catcher than a blocker. And he had a very good year at TCU. Again, I think over 50 catches, over 500 yards, had seven or eight touchdown catches. So he's known more for his pass catching than his blocking. Could be a guy to watch out for. Another guy, I think, who's also at the Senior Bowl, Theo Johnson from Penn State, 6'6", 260, caught 32 passes, I think, almost over 400 yards, almost 400 yards passing, hit, I think, 6 touchdown catches. So some pass catching upside there. And again, round, and all those guys, I think, will be available between round 4, round 5, maybe even round 6, where the Vikings have extra picks and could be, you know, could afford to take a shot at a young tight end who you can grow and develop, might even be ready to have a pass catching role next year. And also, you got to think of the future, right? Like, look what Baltimore did. They had Mark Andrews, all-world tight end, but they drafted Isaiah Likely the year in 2022. Well, Andrews gets hurt this year. Who do they bring in? Isaiah Likely, and he's like thriving in a pass-catching role. The Vikings don't have that kind of young understudy to T.J. Hockenson, and I think with you seeing them with the injury with Hockenson, they could probably use that right now.
Well, and it's about as I've always said, it takes 3 to 4 years to develop a tight end generally. Generally, there are exceptions in the NFL. That's why the saying you're drafting a tight end for his next team. I agree with you that if you find somebody like this that can suddenly be minimum at least adequate to start off, you're way ahead of the game. Way ahead of the game. And then once TJ comes back, then you got a pair of them. And from that, you just got to absolutely love the chances because you'll have two pass catchers plus, you know, Josh Oliver can catch passes, but he can also block. Oh, boy. I'm looking at the heavy sets and I'm drooling, baby. I'm drooling because that could be absolutely wonderful. But I think what you're getting at is we need to draft a tight end no matter what because the tight end room is in question right now.
That is what I'm getting at. And if you draft a guy like Johnson or Wiley or Spanford, you also got to look at, again, like you said, takes 3 to 4. Yeah, it's not feeding him. That's the problem, Aaron. It's he barks at anything that – my dog barks at anything that crosses, gets near the front door. But
polar bear outside.
Yeah, it could be. But when you look at Hockenson, somebody mentioned about how long is he signed for? Well, 2028 is when he'd be set to hit the market. He'd be 31 years old then. At that point, if you can draft a young guy, develop him, maybe he's ready to step in and be the starter when maybe Hockenson at 31 isn't what he used to be and is too costly to keep at his level, at his age and level of production. And so you can have a succession plan there. We don't have one right now at tight end for TJ Hockenson.
Mm-hmm. Very, very smart. I like that. Like it very much. Well, we've got, whether we bring back Johnny Munn or not, probably. Whether we bring back Nick Muse or not, probably. Nick Muse, I'm almost definite. But we'll find out. And it all depends. Hopefully TJ Hockenson heals quick. But it doesn't look like that way so far. I hope they do the experimental stuff. I was reading this week how people are starting to use, and it's not for tendons in particular, but it's for cartilage. There's new cartilage therapy using, I think, stem cells, some sort of stem cells, not baby stem cells, but some sort of stem cells that help rebuild cartilage for people that are bone on bone. And trust me, I have arthritis in my joints and I feel it. It's MACI is what it's called, MACI procedure that'll help. There's got to be something similar, I would hope, for the tendons, and hopefully he has that surgery soon. It all depends where on the tendon, whether it's right at the bone or if it's in between that it busted, how they're going to fix that. And hopefully they get it fixed, both tendons, both the MCL and the ACL, and get those put back together and then he starts his rehab and builds back up quickly. So we have him because he's good.
He is very good, and I think some people might look back in the future and say, or in the past and say that, look back in the future. That doesn't make any sense. Look in the past and say, remember Adrian Peterson, how he had that miraculous comeback when he tore his ACL, but got mentioned by Judd Zulga at On Score North this week. Well, Adrian Peterson was a physical freak. And so you can't, and what he did was the exception and not the norm as far as coming back as fast as he did. I don't know if TJ Hawkinson's body has that ability. And I think we've got to prepare ourselves for the worst in his case. Not the best.
Supposedly, as of last week, he still hasn't gotten the surgery because of swelling a month after the fact. That worries me.
Yes, it does. Worries me as well. Because, like you said, could mean something. There's more wrong there than what we initially thought, which wouldn't be good.
Aaron's talking about, we're talking about sci-fi getting an AI quarterback for cheap. Maybe it works. Maybe it works, baby. If you could put one into a robot that could throw it, and NFL will allow having it, maybe. And we may eventually get there that all the games are that way. Steven, welcome, my friend. I hope your summer is going absolutely wonderful. Anthony, I showed the bottle before. It is Redemption Bourbon. It's absolutely good to drink. And so everything is good. Now, that brings us, I'm afraid, to the end of the show. We've gone through all three themes, from starting off with the Senior Bowl and East-West Shrine Game that are going to be this week, and that we highly encourage you to watch them, because you yourself can start scouting, pick favorites. That's what it's for. We may not find, actually draft that guy, but pick favorites you like so we can talk about it more between now and the draft, right? When you hop on Two Old Bloggers or The Real Forno Show or any of our products that we've got coming out in the near future, you can do that. And then we get into the quick hitters, whether it be from the Green Bay firing their defensive coordinator, which is always a good thing because it means they suck. Not that it was the defensive coordinator's fault that Mr. Love threw across his body, channeling his inner Brett Favre for an interception and losing that football game. And then we talked about Kirk Cousins putting himself out, making his public persona absolutely wonderful, and trying to force the Vikings to pay him more money. Question is, will they? Hopefully not. Hopefully we draft our next future quarterback. And that's me personally. You may disagree with me. There's plenty of fans out there that do. Your thoughts are as valid as mine. So I'm not meaning to insult anybody, but that's what's going on there. And then we finished up with our tight ends, because there's got to be something done some way, shape, or fashion so that our tight ends are at least competitive going into next season, even though we seem to have a good bunch already. We'll find out. Darren, are there any other things you'd like to share? Like, what type of dog do you have? You're on mute. Oops. I know what happens. No, it's still on mute. No biggie. That stuff happens. We have technical issues every once in a while. Hey, it's modern. But with that, we're going to call it a day. Make sure you watch all this week. Like I said, like, subscribe, ring the bell. And on the ring the bell settings, set it for get all notifications, because Tyler is going to be going live at various times during the day while he's covering practice and doing interviews for Vikings First and Skull. So we'll be there for you. And as always, enjoy your friends. Enjoy good food, good beverage. Have a great week. And what do we say, Darren? Have you got it back yet? Nope. We say Skull Vikings. And thanks for watching.
Like, subscribe, and ring the bell. And rate us on your favorite podcast aggregator. Darren and Dave, thank you for watching this episode of Two Old Bloggers. We look forward to seeing you on every show on the new Vikings First and Skull. You can find our podcast as part of the Fans First Sports Network. Sports takes for the fan, from the fan. Skull, everybody!
This has been a Vikings First and Skull production, part of the Fans First Sports Network.